minute, Crossfade.
The Daily Talk Show.
A conversation sometimes worth recording with Josh Jensen and Tommy Jacket.
It's the Daily Talk Show, episode 168. Good morning.
Good afternoon. Good evening and good night. No, we are
wherever you are. You might be in your car taking the kids to school. Yep. Or you might be on the way home. You might be on the Monash Freeway.
This may be
this bumper to bumper traffic.
It may be 2050, and you're currently on the brand new rail link in Victoria. It's taken a fuckload of time to build, and there's now flying cars, but you're underground listening to our podcast.
Is it going to be underground?
Oh, there's going to be a lot that is underground. So there's all the new rail system going underground. But then I actually just saw there's a page on Facebook, and it's called Roeville Shit Stirring or something like that. So it's like the suburb of Roeville, where your parents live. Yeah. And they just like put up funny memes about Roeville. Like it's almost like they're from it, the people who own the page are from Roeville, and they are posting all the funny memes about Roeville and shit. But one of them I just saw today was they posted a video that the Victorian government put out about this new rail link. And it's basically, if you're not from Victoria, it probably won't interest you at all, but basically they're connecting up all of the different routes that go out around Victoria, which is pretty big, because that means you can live in, you know, one side of Melbourne and catch a train rather than into the city and then out. You can catch it across. So it is pretty cool, but it's going to take a long time. But Roeville has been left out. And so they were like, really? What the fuck? You've left us out, you dogs.
That's so funny.
But
how did you even get to liking the Roeville meme page in the first place?
I'm glad you asked, because this is when BMAC gets another shout out. BMAC, shout out to you.
Great.
There was
shout out to BMAC.
It said he was interested in going to an event called Bumming Siggies at Roeville Macca's. but there was like 500 people going to this event. Yeah, here we go. Bumming Siggies at Roeville Macca's. It's on this Saturday at 2:30 p.m. And Shades McCarthy. Oh, it turns out he's going.
We have a few listeners in Roeville, so maybe if you're listening, it's not too late. Do you want to just give us those details again, Tommy?
Yep. So 2:30 p.m. on 8th of September.
Yeah.
And it's at the Roeville Macca's. So if you want to go to the event, Bumming Siggies at Roeville Macca's.
Do you actually know what Bumming Siggies means?
Yeah, I do. But do you?
Is it just putting siggies in your bum?
It's got nothing to do with your arsehole. It's like, hey, you know how you're walking past, you got a siggy, bro? Like someone's trying to bum a siggy. Yeah. It's I don't know where the term bumming actually comes from.
I guess because they're homeless, like they're a bum.
True. And then that will be gone. That saying will be gone in 5 years.
There's going to be like 100 people all trying to bum siggies off the general public. Is that the idea?
Yeah. So there'll be currently 144 going, 570 interested. So there could be there's going to be a lot of bumming in Rowie.
Well, Narre Warren, very close to where I grew up, was the area in which there was the big party by Corey Worthington.
Oh.
Do you remember that?
Yeah, I'll summarise for our international audience. This kid whose parents had gone away for the weekend, he created a party invitation on Facebook. Or MySpace. Okay, so that's full old school on MySpace, and hundreds of people replied and rocked up to his house, and it got shut down. There was brawls. But then fast forward like 8 years, he was on Big Brother Australia, Celebrity Big Brother.
I don't remember the... I sort of... Was he?
Yeah, he was on...
I don't remember that.
He fully turned celeb. But he
well,
just had-
I, I think it actually did go international in some regards, because there was a t-shirt company that I used to buy t-shirts from all the time called Busted Tees. I think it was the parent company was like the College Humor company.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Like they would do sort of slogan tees. I had all these different ones. I had one that had a picture of a sandwich and it said Sylph. Like sandwich I'd like to fuck.
Oh, yeah.
I had one that said, without me, it's just also, which looks better when you read it.
Okay. Because
if you add the me, it says awesome. But anyway, I had a heap of them. And they had one that I really wanted to buy but never did, because I always had to buy heaps at once because I was a kid and couldn't afford paying for shipping multiple times.
Yeah.
But it said... it had sunglasses and it said, I won't take off my sunglasses, which was, do you remember that line?
No. What was it? What's it from?
From A Current Affair. He did a, I'm trying to remember her name.
Yes.
Layla McKinnon.
Yes, yes.
Interviewed him and she said, why don't you take off your sunglasses? So I don't want to.
Don't want to. And so that was, it's almost... That's probably the reason that interview we did post the party, for anyone, just type in Corey Worthington into YouTube, and he just looked like, he looked like you and I, Josh, when we were young, like that bleach blonde hair. Yeah, and just like he was wearing some sort of singlet. Yeah, he just looked like a piece of work. And
yellow framed sunnies. It was great.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, he was the poster boy for Arnett sunglasses. That's their branding, if you know the kind of people that wore those back in the day.
Arnett's. Were they the ones? Did they even do the ones with the grilly things?
I don't know who did those, because too many fake brands came out and just released those sunglasses that pretty much don't block the light. They've just got fucking. A drain grate over your eyes.
Yeah.
It's bizarre.
So dumb. It's actually on sunglasses. Closing the loop for people who don't follow us on Instagram. Brie bought new sunnies after having hers lost/stolen in Turkey.
Well, having them lost and having them stolen is a bit. She left them in the fucking change room. So it was a boo-boo on her behalf.
She wasn't in the change room. The thing was, she left him in the toilet, like, room. It wasn't like a change room. But the thing is that being a female, she wears, like, fucking these clothes that require her to unzip and basically get naked just to go to the toilet. It's like, what's it called? It's not a onesie.
Jumpsuit, most unpractical piece of clothing. Okay. A woman could buy. I once dated a girl that wore like this thing that basically you pull down and it's like, you know, bikinis, you know, onesie bikinis. It's like, but she.
Do you mean just like a one piece?
Yeah, sorry, a onesie bikini. One piece bikini. But basically.
So can we make that a thing? The onesie bikini.
But it was just this stupid. It almost was like Bodhi has baby clothes that you have to just where his nuts hang. You have to put the buttons together there. And so I just remember this girl that I was dating had this thing that you had to do that. So right down where your crutch is, you had to do the buttons up to keep the thing together. And I was like, that's just too much work. That's too much work.
Yeah. Hang on. How do they normally do it? One piece? I guess you just sort of like... Flip it on. You have to hashtag lift up a leg.
Well, a bikini. Bikini, it's probably a bit different. You get in.
No, bikini's easy. Bikini's just undies and a bra. But what about a one piece?
I don't know.
How do they get in?
Don't know, mate. It's
I guess a secret women chat. We'll never know.
Hey, on the clothes thing, I've been I've kind of thought about. You know the struggle humans have, probably men, when it comes to washing and losing socks. Do you lose?
Yeah.
Most people lose their socks. It is next level when you have a child. The socks are the size of your pinky, and Bodhi has so many lost socks now. I was just putting them back together the other day. They just all dried out. I was like, mate, He's half of his socks are missing. They get eaten up and put into like sheets and I just thought it's bad when you're a kid. It's bad when you're an adult.
What sort of psycho? What sort of psychopath will wash baby socks with sheets? That's the problem. I don't think you should do that. Don't you think?
Mate, when you're just that's holding
asking
on,
asking for trouble.
I know, but when you're not thinking straight, you're holding on as a parent, trying to keep the kid alive. It's the last of your thought processes.
Yeah, I'm sure that creates like an. I'm sure it creates an actual vortex if you do that. Like, I'm sure that you. I'm surprised you even had a sheet in the end. I feel like it's just that those ingredients. I wouldn't be surprised if you rocked up and go, "Where's the washing machine? You've unlocked some sort of secret washing machine."
Oh God! But I had all of his little clothes sort of put out, and I was putting them all into the piles and getting them ready to put back into his room. And I did have a thought around minimalism and being a parent. And I thought the two, they don't go in my mind. It is, I feel like if you were, because I've tried to, I haven't really talked to you about it, but I was just like trying to just buy a whole bunch of T-shirts that are the same so I don't have to think about what I'm doing. You know, like basically what you're doing. But I was.
Is it a rebrand?
Yeah, I was thinking a bit of a rebrand, but I don't have the cash to drop on a whole rebrand at once. I would love to do it all at once.
Iterative.
Yeah, I've got it. Yeah, it has to be when you're dropping $400 a week out of pocket on daycare. Yeah. You know what I mean? You got priorities. But I was thinking just with Bodhi stuff, it like the feeling when you were transitioning into trying to be a minimalist in that respect of your life, it's you start like, and I don't know if you've felt this, but it's like you feel like you've got all this stuff and it annoys you a bit and you want to get rid of it all and you're like, oh, and it's like you look in your wardrobe and you're like, fuck, I've got to sort this shit out. Anyway, but I was looking at Bodhi's stuff and it was just making me, I had to shift my thinking because it was like, this will give me fucking anxiety with the amount of clothes he has because you don't have an option. You can't just treat your kid like, oh, we'll just have him 5 T-shirts and 5 pairs of shorts. It's like, dude, he'll shit himself, vomit. Like, you need more. It's a numbers game. It's the least minimal thing you could ever do is have a kid. I wonder if there is someone. I wonder if there is an adult that is treating their child the same way they do if they are a minimalist.
Well, Derek Sivers, who founded CD Baby, super interesting dude. He
I love
did
that
a
you,
TED
you've
talk,
said that.
Which
I reckon.
Was,
I reckon if we could search this podcast, you've said that line 40 times, and I still don't know what CD Baby is because CDs are that old, and I'm thinking, what is he talking about? But we'll get to it another day.
So what? No, I'll quickly explain what CD Baby was, which I'm sure I've done as well, by the way.
I still didn't understand it.
Yeah, no, literally what it is it was a way for bands, it still is, to get CDs published really like independently, simply. So what that means is in this day and age, when you as an artist create music, you can go to CD Baby and they'll publish it, which means it can be available on Spotify, on iTunes, on Amazon, and they, you know, give you pass on the money that it makes. But basically, it ticks all the boxes for all those different services, so you can publish it.
So it's almost like a Simplecast. It distributes, but with the more emphasis on making money.
Yeah, exactly, and especially because with music, that you need to have like a. Like a fucking barcode number or some sort of number to be able to access these services, which the general public just wouldn't be able to get until CD Baby came along. But he created a TED Talk that was called, I think it was like How to Start a Movement, where he deconstructs this situation. I think it was like a university or something where one person started dancing and by the end of it, everyone was dancing it, and he deconstructs every element of how that movement started. But he is from the US, lives in New Zealand now, and he was a guest on at the Minimalists event that I was filming in Auckland at the start of the year.
Yeah.
And he was talking specifically about having a kid. And one of the interesting things he talked about was the fact that at the beginning he didn't give his kid many toys, just gave him one toy to play with. And then they went to a cafe and the kid had access to like a toy box, and all of a sudden saw, he felt really guilty as a parent because he saw his kid having so much fun and being creative and grabbing all the different toys. So I think he came to the conclusion that, you know, being a parent, you can't necessarily apply all of this minimalism to the kid, and that they also, like, part of creativity is joining things together, putting a truck on a house and driving and stuff like that.
Yeah. Bodhi definitely does do that. He's I think he doesn't have as many toys as some other kids, but he's definitely got quite a few, and he loves the variety. They just, their attention span is so short, so they are focused on something for a tiny bit of time, moving on to the next. Then he's, you know, got bubbles out, and then he's riding his little ladybug thing, and, you know, he's burning around.
Oh, that ladybug thing. That's super cute.
It's amazing. It's just like this big bug with wheels, and he now hoons around the house on it and loves it. But it's so good to see them evolving, but I don't think Bodhi's a minimalist. He doesn't give a shit for this.
There actually is, there is a book called Minimalist Parenting, which I just found on Google. They even have a podcast. Man, there's a book, a podcast, and a YouTube channel for everything nowadays.
100%. I mean, look, at the start of this, there's an event for bumming sickies at Roeville Macca's. So if that's not groundbreaking, I don't know what is.
I feel like, there's the... all different levels, right? And some people will focus on the internet providing us with bumming ciggies at Roeville. But there's a lot of good shit out there too, I guess.
There is. I want to get someone, I don't know who yet, we'll find a guest that we can get on that isn't a celebrity or isn't like, hasn't leveraged the success of their Facebook page for their own personal brand, but has a Facebook page or like a membership page that has gone absolutely gangbusters. Like, for instance, there's like a buy, swap and sell Victoria, and they have them in all different states. But these things have like 100,000 people on them, and you still see like little elements of control or like power coming into play. But I'd be interested to have someone on. Like, I got contacted this week by a guy who runs a page. Hang on a second. Mason, what was that? What was that page that guy emailed me about?
He's doing a Bray. Bray.
RRTTS or something. It was Ringers from the Top End. Here we go.
Ringers from the... What does that even mean?
Exactly. So this dude messaged me. He's like, hey, mate, loved your video of you going to the Outback. I own a page called RFTTE, Ringers from the Top End. You should post it on there. And so I clicked onto it and I was like, oh, yeah, this guy's probably fucking pulling my leg. Whatever, you know, it could be just small. I thought, you know, I jumped on 51,000... followers, and which I mean is quite big.
What was he asking?
He was just saying you should share it on my page, and so I jumped on. And Ringers from the Top End, I'll tell you about the page. It's, hang on a second, discussion. So it's a group. It's the description, Ringers from the Top End, is the online campfire for the cattle station community. This group is not limited to just ringers. Ringer is a term for those on horseback who round up cattle. Basically, a ringer is the Australian name for a cowboy/girl. So that's interesting. But a group for anyone who has worked or is working, indeed, wants to know more about the life on a cattle station. So that's
our word of the day. I'm rapt that you've managed to get our word of the day. Ringer.
Ringer.
It's a good one.
Ringers. Yeah, so it's the cow. I mean, I like the term cowboy. Yeah. I like that. But then I kind of went on to his profile because this was through LinkedIn, which is, you know, very business heavy. And I looked at who he was, and he's like this dude with a marketing degree. His name's Simon. Yeah.
Does he look like a ringer? Does he have a Kubra hat on?
No, not at all. I mean, he might have grown up there. He said he's a digital and marketing producer. I worked with the crew at On Market, having built an investing website, an app for an Australian investor, launched by the Prime Minister in 2015.
Did you put your Outback video up on LinkedIn? Do you think he saw that?
Yes, so that's how it is. Yeah, he saw the Outback video I made, which kind of went bananas. Did really well for LinkedIn. But yeah, my fascination is with these people who build out these like random pages. Like there is there's a page on Instagram. My brother tagged me in a video, and I couldn't see it because I wasn't actually a part of that page. And then I clicked
onto Instagram. So it must be like a private Instagram account or something.
A private Instagram account with 1.4 million followers, and it's called Kids Getting Hurt. I requested. They haven't accepted me yet, the dogs. But
maybe the federal police are coming after you. Like kids getting hurt could be fucking, you can go, ha ha, funny. Like when my mum submitted a video to Funniest Home Video of my brother falling over. This was in the 90s. And they said that it was too cruel. Like it was too, because really? He looked like he got hurt. How bad would you feel if you submitted something to Funniest Home Videos, and they said, it's not funny, your kid just got hurt.
They had morals back then even. This Kid's Getting Hurt has a merchandise website. They've got T-shirts, and one of them is, I've created a monster T-shirt for babies, and then they've got like little one-piece suits for little babies. Be nice to your kids.
I saw the most interesting parenting technique yesterday at breakfast. There was this kid being quite feral, and he was sort of like, he was sort of running around, and he was getting the menu, and he was sort of picking up anything and putting it in his parents' face. He's just sort of like doing all this sort of stuff, right?
He was being a child.
And yeah, he was being a kid. But it was quite full on. It was just like, it seemed like a bit of a mood shift because I hadn't noticed him before. Anyway, I then saw the mum get up and she started walking off, but then decided not to, and then she sat back down, right? Anyway, the kid continues being a bit feral, and then the dad gets up. The kid's in the dad's face, like being real full on, and the dad just stands up, walks out the restaurant, and I watched the dad from outside. He's just standing outside the restaurant, not doing anything, just sort of walking around, just sort of pacing around, looking really calm. The kid sits back in his seat, starts like eating his food, being really relaxed, and the dad just comes back, walks in, and sits back down at the table like nothing had happened.
Jesus.
Have you heard of this?
No, it's either he beats him when that's the sign for you're about to get beaten.
Yeah, in the private. Maybe he's the page manager for Kids Getting Hurt.
And he's going out, steam comes out of his ears when he goes outside, and the kid knows, I better fucking start eating. Now that's bizarre.
Yeah,
maybe,
I wonder what it was.
Maybe the kid hates his dad and he's like, nah. But here's the thing, they do put on shows like what Bodhi does for us and what he does for, like, I get to daycare and I spy on him before I go and grab him. And the kid is a weird unit. One minute, like he's just hanging. He's just sitting around the circle, just watching, you know, the daycare worker. It's like that. He would never do that to us. he's in our grill running around. Like, they do play up when the parents are around. So maybe it was a tactic of leave the situation and he will stop.
He's just chill normally, is he? Bodhi's just like, so how do you, does that mean then that you're triggering him in some way to be a bit more feral than what he might generally be?
Oh, I think he's, I don't think we trigger him too much. I think he just loves.
Give him red cordial?
No, we definitely don't do that. But there's a difference when mum and dad are around. I don't know. I think it's pretty common that kids play up for their parents and then they're behaved, especially like nappy changes. He goes psycho, and then I watched him get his nappy changed there and he's just chilling. I was like, you absolute feral. You mongrel.
So you would have felt a little bit better if he'd started throwing shit at the daycare worker.
Yeah, I mean, he did. He's already wiped his hand with shit all over one of the dudes. So he still is feral, but he's the best.
Yeah, you just caught him on a good day.
Yeah.
No, but I think it's interesting. I think that the... because I was ready for a blow up. I was ready for the parents just to lose their shit.
Mm.
And I guess maybe part of it is, to your point about, I did think, you know, maybe the kid just wants attention. And maybe it's too much stimulus having two people and getting sort of overwhelmed and trying to get their attention versus, you know, one going away, him being able to settle down and resetting.
Sometimes for Bodhi, if we look at him, he loses it. But if you don't look at him,
really,
he's calm. It's bizarre, especially
just ignore him.
Well, I think it's like, yeah, especially when we're driving and he gets a bit sooky, and then I look back, and when I look at him in the eyes, you just cannot lock eyes with the kid. And so every child's different. So maybe that's just the technique. Or the dude was sick of it. And he just left the shit for his wife, which is something I've probably done. I'm just like, fuck this, I'm out. I cannot handle this.
That you
I'm
said
gonna
probably
blow up.
Done, which is just something I may have done in the past.
Yeah, in
maybe.
The past.
In the past, yeah, my past self may have. Just this morning,
out.
I may have.
No, I've definitely done it. It's it pushes you to the end of your being because you cannot control. Yeah. Be like me if you would. I was just around. I mean, you're close to that for me. You're pretty loose sometimes. I'm just like, I cannot control this kid. I've got to let this guy go. He hasn't stopped talking to this stranger who's taking me down with him.
that would be you. Actually, talking strangers, we Bree and I were having lunch yesterday, and it was more creating a scene for strangers where. We, Bree had been joking. I was just finishing editing something, and she said, "I'm going to go down to." She was going to go and bring us back lunch, and I was like, "Oh, I could come down in like 10 minutes." She's like, "Oh no, I can just bring it back." And then she was walking, and then she texted and said, "Actually, it's really nice out. Maybe you know, finish up and come out." So anyway, she was saying. I said, I'm heading out. She said, oh, I've just, there's casinos near the lake, which we've always found super weird and a bit of a shame. And she said, I just went to the casino and spent all of our money. So I'm just drowning my sorrows out the front. Anyway, when we, got to lunch, we decided to continue the pantomime or the improv, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
And so we're sitting down and Bree said, I just can't believe I just lost $50,000 at the pokies. I said, you said, you know, and then I then start playing into it. I said, you said you weren't going to do it. And Bree later told me that she was watching this girl near us, just like looking at us, like with shock, just couldn't believe it. And I ended up like backing down and just, I couldn't continue the joke because I was just like, I felt. Well, also, it's just like the people must have thought that we were completely off our chains. But anyway, so that was a moment of showing off even
no,
as
I
adults.
Like it. So you would have got me because I'm the guy who sits at restaurants or cafes and just can't help myself, especially if I'm by myself. I go to cafes a lot by myself, and I like doing work, but I'm
when you've cracked it with Bodie,
when I've that's actually exactly how it plays out. I'm out.
I'm getting coffee.
I'll go out by myself. Anyway, I was sitting at a cafe a couple of weeks ago, and I wrote this down because I wanted to tell you about it. This is a perfect time because you've now outed yourself as a guy who plays games in cafes, and I'm that too, but I'm the other way. I like listening in to people. And so there was this one woman who was on the phone to somebody, and she was just having this intense conversation. And for the life of me, I was trying to work out who she was talking to, what it was all about. And then she said, she said this line, I wrote it down. I'm worried that I'll end up with a child that has anxiety like me. I was like, oh, geez, there's a lot going on there. But she was sitting next to me, like close, having coffee. But she was talking to her. It must have been a friend. I was like, geez, that was...
Did she seem angry about it? Was she like... She was...
No, it was almost...
Sounds like she was slightly...
Yeah, I mean, I probably delivered in the wrong tone. It was more a bit like blasé that... Oh, yeah.
That was not... Your acting is horrendous because that wasn't... It sounded like she was in a fight and she said that she was worried. But it was... So it was different.
No, yeah. It was definitely different. You know why I did it like that? It's because I did it slowly because I hadn't read what I'd written down for 3 weeks. It's a couple of weeks. So, see, oh, I'm worried that I'll end up...
Hashtag slow reader.
With a child that has anxiety like me. It was like very... Oh, yeah. It was bizarre. But that was a bit of an eardrop. Eardrop? Eavesdrop? Eavesdrop?
What's that eavesdrop, saying? I think. Yeah, it's eavesdrop. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's it is eavesdrop. I don't know like where it fucking comes from, but it's eavesdrop.
Who's eaves? Yeah, eavesdropping. Who the fuck's eavesdropping? And what is...
Yeah.
Eve? I just typed in eavesdropping into Google, and one of the drop downs is eavesdropping Melbourne. What is that?
Maybe it's some sort of Facebook. Maybe they're the ones that are organising bumming ciggies in Roeville. Maybe it's that. Maybe they're the parent company.
Interesting. Eavesdropping used to be a crime. Wow. I guess it is just basically spying.
The difference, but I think it may be eavesdropping in the sense of tapping into people's phones, but eavesdropping in a cafe. If people are going to talk, you can listen. Anyway, it's the Daily Talk Show. Enjoy the rest of your Thursday, and we'll see you tomorrow. Have a good one.
Yeah, my rabbit hole for the rest of the day is just looking at this eavesdropping shit. I just found a website. All right, I'll see you tomorrow.
Catches.